You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams. There's still time to join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790. That's 505-338-5790. Or text 505-585-LIVE. That's 505-585-5483. Today's show is sponsored in part by Ben Lucero at Indigo Mortgage, 505-836-5700. That's 505-836-5700. Or online at indigomortgage.net. Thank you, Indigo Mortgage, for your support of KLYT and ABQ Connect.
The Hermit's Peak Fire started on April 6th and is now merged with the Calf Canyon Fire, which started on April 19th. The merged Calf Canyon and Hermit's Peak fires grew to nearly 300,000 acres over the weekend to become the largest fire in state history. The Hermit's Peak fire was caused by a prescribed burn going out of control. The Calf Canyon fire is now under investigation. A shift in winds pushed flames in the direction of the Sipapu Ski Resort and smoke into the Rio Grande Valley, home to the historic town of Taos, sending air quality plummeting. Taos County issued a mandatory evacuation order for Sipapu and nearby villages late on Sunday. Containment now is only at 28%. Total personnel on scene right now is 1,832. Let's listen now to our recorded interview with Alethea host Larissa Lusco and Dr. Brian Nixon talking with Nicole Canny, Salvation Army Director of Emergency Disaster Services.
Welcome to Alethea. I'm Larissa Lusco, and I'm in the studio with my trusty co-host, Brian Nixon.
Larissa, great to be with you.
I love it. I love getting together like this. It's just so fun, and I always learn so much. So today, though, we are talking with Nicole Canny, and she is Emergency Disaster Director in the Southwest for the Salvation Army. This program is being recorded while the largest wildfire in New Mexico history is raging up in the north. Nicole is in New Mexico to assist disaster relief.
Nicole, welcome to our program, and we do thank you for all that you're doing on behalf of the New Mexican citizens. But we understand a lot about Salvation Army. I think people who know Salvation Army know it from a certain angle. But many people may be surprised that Salvation Army has multitude of outreaches. So can you tell us about the scope of the disaster relief ministry that Salvation Army is involved with?
Absolutely, and thank you for having me today. The Salvation Army has been in existence since about 1865. It's an international organization that serves people in need without discrimination. We offer, you know, dozens of social services across the board for people in need, homeless, seniors, children. Anyone with a basic human need, we're there to assist. We do have a disaster relief ministry that we're very proud of. We deploy teams to local and national disasters to help people at their greatest time of need. You know, disasters are just unexpected and they're horrible. And we send teams to be on the ground to help minister to the people, help provide for their basic needs, water, food, clothing. We can provide rent and gas money. Just anything that people need to get through, you know, these really difficult times. And, you know, we're just proud to be part of the solution for communities when this happens.
Wow. That's very interesting. Nicole, tell us about some of the disaster relief projects that you've taken part in.
Well, I've been in disaster services with the Salvation Army for about 5 years. In the beginning, I was deployed to smaller, local disasters. Eventually, I went to Hurricane Harvey in Texas about 4 or 5 years ago. I did happen to rescue a dog on the street, and he lives with me now. His name is Hurricane Harvey.
Oh.
He's adorable. He is a hurricane himself, but he's got a happy home now.
So great.
I went to the wildfires in California in about 2018, the Mendocino Complex fire, which, you know, was just devastating for Northern California. And I've, you know, there's a lot of little local disasters that people don't think of. You know, it's monsoon season coming up here in the Southwest, and torrential rains, those snap downpours can just take a toll on a small community. And you know, maybe it's a block, maybe it's a couple blocks. And, you know, we respond to stuff like that too. So anything where people in need, are in need of services, we're there. So I've, you know, kind of been across the scope of, big and little disasters.
Absolutely beautiful. You know, I think the average person, Nicole, realizes that the Salvation does great work, particularly around the holidays. You see the bell ringers, and I always make sure I drop in money in those. But I think the general public really is unaware that the Salvation Army is involved with disaster programs, you know, not only regionally, but nationally. Would you agree? Do you think the general public is aware of your disaster relief programs?
You know, they may not be. And, you know, we do have a big piece of Christmas, the kettles and the Christmas angels, and I used to be a big part of that for Phoenix. So that's near and dear to my heart. But, you know, the Salvation Army is in every zip code in the country, and so they may see us every day but not know that we're integral in the disaster network. We have a piece of the, you know, mass care response. So anywhere there's a congregate amount of people, we're there because that's where the great need is. So, for instance, right now I'm at Camp Glorieta in New Mexico, and there are hundreds of New Mexicans here that were affected adversely by these fires. So, you know, Salvation Army was always here. We just sent in a specialized team to handle this disaster specifically. And we were here before, we're here now, and, you know, long after this has passed and the disaster teams are up and gone, we will still be here because we're you know, present in every zip code.
Wow.
Beautiful. Oh,
that's great. So, Nicole, what kind of opportunities does your team have to share the gospel with those who are going through the trauma of disaster?
Sure, and that's a great question. You know, there's just dozens and dozens of disaster teams across the spectrum. The Salvation Army has a specialized emotional and spiritual care team that will go in and, you know, minister to people in need. They'll sit down with you, they'll listen to you, they'll pray with you. The Salvation Army is full of officers who have, you know, pastoral care training and support, and they will sit and listen with people, and they're able to offer comfort and care, you know, just as Christ would. And, you know, that's something special that the Army, you know, really prides itself on, that a lot of other agencies just don't have because they're, you know, not faith-based as we are. And everyone has a role, but that's, you know, that's something we're really proud of.
So is this something that the general public can become a part of? Or is it, I mean, how would, if someone wanted to get involved in, you know, some sort of trauma, you know, we have, they're chaplains all over, and sometimes, you know, especially locally, they might be underutilized. Is there a way that they can get involved?
Absolutely. Anyone can be a volunteer with the Salvation Army. And if there are pastors that, you know, can provide those specialized services to people in need, we would love to have them. I can get you our website where people can join us, and they'll get a little training on, you know, the message we're trying to get out, just of care and compassion. And everyone is welcome to join us. We would love it.
Very cool. Mm,
so cool. So, Nicole, you'd mentioned you're at Camp Glorieta. For those listeners who may not know where that is, that's right above Santa Fe. You also mentioned that you were deployed to Hurricane Harvey. You were in the California fires. So you've really experienced a lot of trauma, a lot of natural disasters. And obviously, these disasters have different impacts in different regions. But do you have any insight of ways that you've observed how people have been impacted? And is there a story in particular that really stands out in your mind?
You know, every disaster is different. It's hard to apply a template just to disaster because everyone is regionally different. It's, you know, communities are different. There may be, you know, Native Americans or, you know, people of different descent, and you just have to be, you know, culturally aware of where you are, and it's just every disaster is completely different. I do remember a story when I was in California. We were near Napa in Sonoma, and I was in the parking lot of a hotel, and there was a man just sobbing at the end of his car. So I went up to him, and I spoke with him, and he was a grape grower for the wine industry there, and he lost everything. He lost, you know, acres and acres of vineyards, and he's like, even if they didn't burn, the smoke, you know, altered the crop. He was absolutely sunk. You know, he's just sunken down, and he just couldn't come to terms with it. So we sat and we prayed on it, and, you know, I just let him speak from the heart. It was just, it's just something you don't think of. You know, I mean, he lost all his grapes, and that was his absolute livelihood, and he was just devastated. And it's just, you know, it's not just houses and cars. It's people's livelihoods are at stake. The way of life is at stake. So, you know, it's just something else. Everywhere we go, it's a different story just based on the region you're in. And every story is absolutely heartbreaking. It's things you don't necessarily think of because you're in a different region. But, you know, people are just touched in different ways.
Mm-hmm. Well, right now, you are in New Mexico for a very widespread wildfire. And our listeners are going to hear about this after the event. We're recording, you know, we're pre-recording this. But we are coming into wildfire season all over the West. Tell us about the situation in New Mexico now. I mean, last night the sun was setting, and even just before that, the air quality in New Mexico, it was so thick, and it was from the fires up north. How bad are they?
Well, I will tell you, it rained here at Camp Glorieta. In fact, it hailed a bit, and everyone was out dancing in the rain, literally.
Oh, great.
What it did do here was improve the air quality a bit. It lightened people's spirits. So that was great. The fires are still going. We're still in response mode as firefighters continue to battle the blazes. Every day there's a new area that it's affecting, and we're, keeping our eye on that. But, New Mexicans are absolutely resilient. The people I've met are just incredible. So we are running donations management here at Camp Glorieta, and people will come in that had been evacuated, grab a few items they need, and they come back an hour later. How can I help? What can I do? Can I organize the room? Can I help unload donations? I mean, they come back and they want to help, and they're in crisis, and it's absolutely amazing to me. I'm just so honored to be a part of it. It's just beautiful, the resiliency of this community.
Now, practically, when someone does, come out and offer their help, how do you handle that? I mean, what kind of practical assistance does Salvation offer, or would you tell these people to do? Would it be simply to go talk to someone, or what are you actually doing on the ground?
On the ground here, we're handling donations management for the state. So any incoming donations, we are managing the distribution to people in need. So anything from hygiene items to baby items, toys for the kids. There's a lot of college kids here, midnight snacks, we're providing those. So anyone that wants to come help us organize that, we've got people dropping off, all hours of the day, that sort of thing. We're happy to help, have them here. And it's, we're at the camp and, they want to pitch in and help, and it's absolutely great, and we absolutely welcome it.
So how many staff do you have? I mean, how many staff does the Salvation Army bring on site in a disaster this severe?
So it depends on disaster to disaster. Here in New Mexico, we've got about 10 boots on the ground, but we probably have about 100 people that are active in response. Our headquarters is based out of Phoenix. That's where I'm from. We've got PR teams that are working to get our message out about the things we need, how volunteers can sign up, what the needs are here. We've got, finance teams that are, working on donations and educating the public on where those go. We've got emotional and spiritual care teams out of Phoenix that are checking in with our team. How many people are you seeing? What do they need? What resources do you need to minister to them? Overall, we've got 100 people, focused on this event right now. And we've also got local officers across the state who are, where the shelters are, but some of these people are, evacuating to other areas of the state that aren't, covered with lots of resources. But our officers are there. And on a case-by-case basis, they're handling these people that are walking in. So we've got just hundreds of people, 100 people responding to this.
So beautiful. So beautiful. Nicole, before we get on to, possible future natural disasters, I'm going to just take a little bit break. And why I'm doing this is because I teach church history here at Calvary College here in Albuquerque. So I'm a church history professor. And William Booth is one of the guys we always touch upon. So you mentioned at the top of the hour that, the Salvation Army began in 1865. And of course, that was with William Booth, who was a Methodist preacher, Wesleyan Methodist preacher. How much of that backstory of William Booth and the amazing work he did in England, how much is that is still effective and brought to today?
I would say 100% of it. You know, his mission was soup, service, and salvation. And we still have the same message. We meet basic needs without discrimination, you know, in the name of Christ. And so we will go out, anyone that needs help. You know, we're not collecting information on who you are or how you got here. We are here to help. And, you know, that's integral to the central message that William Booth had.
Yeah.
And that guides our everyday principles on, you know, how we interact with the public. And it's who we are, I guess.
Yeah, that's so marvelous. I love to hear that. Now, just a practical question. Is the Salvation Army still headquartered in England, or has it moved here to the States? Where's kind of the national heartbeat of Salvation Army?
So the international headquarters is in London. The national headquarters is in Virginia.
Okay, so it really still is England-based, if you will, you know, on the national level.
Absolutely.
Ms. Canny has the responsibility for directing Salvation Army teams in the Emergency Operations Center on scene at the Hermit's Peak Fire. We'll be back with Larissa, Brian, and Nicole Canny about the Salvation Army relief efforts with the Hermit's Peak Fire in New Mexico. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
KLYT, the light of New Mexico, welcomes For King and Country back to Albuquerque.
God only knows what they say about you.
You'll see all the energy of For King and Country on stage and hear their excellent songs. Miss For King and Country, Thursday night, May 19th at Tingley Coliseum. For King and Country, our friends of KLYT, the light of New Mexico.
I see you dressed in white, every wrong made right. I see you rose in blue, at the sight of you.
When you leave church on Sunday, how do you know if you've actually worshiped God in a way He accepts? What is true worship, and how does Scripture define it? How can you recognize it in your own life and in those around you? Find out as John MacArthur examines true worship. That's his study this week on Grace to You.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on KLYT. On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams. Join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790. Or text 505-585-LIVE.
We are back with Larissa Lusco and Dr. Brian Nixon talking with Nicole Canny, Director of Emergency Disaster Relief Services with the Salvation Army.
Now, a couple more kind of clarifying questions, particularly for people who may not be as familiar with the Salvation Army, which I think is just fascinating. But the titles that are given to the officers in Salvation Army are unique. They kind of follow a military rank system. Could you walk our listeners through that? Because isn't there like a lieutenant and a major and how does all that work?
So if anyone is interested in coming to the Salvation Army, you'll go to School of Ministry. Ours is based in LA. It's the College for Officer Training, and you'll be a cadet for 2 years, and they'll teach you pastoral care. I think there's some business, just practical classes in there. And then after that, you come out and you're a lieutenant for 5 years. And you'll get placed somewhere, within your division. We're in the Southwest Division. So, you would be placed in, Arizona, Nevada, or New Mexico. And you'll serve 5 years as a lieutenant. After that, you are promoted to captain. And I believe that's 10 years. And again, there's reassignments throughout all these periods. Our officers are typically reassigned to new locations every 3 to 5 years. So after captain is major, and I believe that is 20 years of service. So most officers are captains and majors through most of their life, and then after that is lieutenant colonel and colonel.
Wow.
And then we have a national commander. So my big boss is Lieutenant Colonel Ivan Wild, and he runs the entire Southwest Division.
Wow. So Booth, I'm thinking Booth came up with this criteria. He probably just used the military in England kind of as his template and then followed the same rank system.
Right.
Yeah, it's great. Now, is Salvation Army its own denomination now, or is it still Wesleyan in its you know, origin?
It's a Christian organization. We are, you know, based on the teachings of Jesus Christ. So, you know, we're here to meet basic needs and, you know, preach the gospel to people in need.
Yeah, so good. Yep, good. So that was my little break, my history break. I was wanting our listeners to know. So that was so good. But now I'm going to switch gears back to, you know, natural disasters. So, you know, obviously we're dealing with fires here in New Mexico, but you're probably already looking ahead to the forthcoming season because fires in the West, and then there's tornadoes in the Midwest, and then inevitably there's going to be hurricanes, you know, around the corner. How does the Salvation Army, you know, is there a map? I mean, how do you guys plan for all of these events, probable events that are coming?
Sure. So our disaster teams are diligent in training in the off seasons, if there isn't even an off season anymore. We train our officers and our staff, you know, how to respond to these disasters. We also educate the community on how to, you know, work to mitigate some of the issues from on the ground here in New Mexico. And there's dozens of agencies that are responding. So, you know, ahead of time we work with, it's called VOAD, it's Voluntary Organizations That Assist in Disaster. And everyone has a role, and as long as we're, you know, meeting in the off season and keeping each other, you know, apprised of what's going on, when you get to a disaster, everyone knows each other and they know their roles. And that's, you know, that's half the battle, is everyone gets on site and is trained, and, you know, the players, you know, what to expect from one another, and it works well.
Wow. Well, you know, earlier you mentioned that you're seeing a lot of support from the local community right around Glorieta and those neighboring towns there. How much support are you seeing from the New Mexico community? I mean, are you getting people coming in from Santa Fe, Albuquerque, Las Cruces?
Oh, absolutely. We've gotten amazing support from New Mexicans. People have been in from all over the region. We've even seen people from Texas, Oklahoma. I mean, people are coming in with donations. They want to know what they can do. They don't think they're doing enough. And, you know,
I think
the drive alone is amazing, you know. Yeah. So we just had amazing support. I know there's a live drive this weekend down in Albuquerque, and the citizens are rallying together to get the supplies we need. So it's, you know, the support's been amazing, and New Mexicans are just so resilient and wonderful. It's been a pleasure to be here. It's honestly been a real honor.
Hmm. Tell us about this live drive. What date is that? What time? Do you know? Do you have the details?
It's Saturday, and I think it's the Cottonwood Mall. Does that sound familiar?
Yes, it does. Uh-huh.
So there's a live drive, and they'll be collecting the basic needs we need here, which is hygiene items, the toothpaste, shampoo, conditioner, that sort of thing, baby items, diapers, wipes, baby food. We've been collecting new toys for the kids, some lawn games. We're here at Camp Glorieta, and it's beautiful here, let me tell you what.
Yes.
But there's a nice lawn out there, and the kids are kicking soccer balls out. There's a little basketball court, so they're keeping themselves entertained. We've been collecting individually packaged snacks for the college kids. They've been snacking late night while they're, you know, cramming for their studies. Towels and linens are a big hot item here. Gatorade and like power drinks. There's some firefighters staying on property here. They're in a tent community. They bring their own tents, so they're a little off the main path, but they've been requesting a lot of Gatorade.
Gatorade.
So just those sort of items, I think the citizens of Albuquerque are going to come together and pull those for us.
Great. And then will there be another one in the coming weeks? I imagine.
I'm sure there will. I'm sure there will. The donations are not backing down at all. I mean, it's been overwhelming, and it's been just wonderful. The people are so loved here. It's been amazing.
Well, just so we can go on live. As I mentioned, this is pre-recorded, but we want to let our listeners know how they can help and be a part of this. So another follow-up question. So you're talking about all these people there. I mean, has Camp Glorieta become a site where people from Las Vegas and Mora County and other areas are coming to take refuge?
So Camp Glorieta is currently housing just under about 575 evacuees here.
Wow.
I think this is the biggest shelter so far. I know there's several others across the state. There's one in Santa Fe. I believe there's one in Taos, and a few more, but this is by far the largest. It will be scaling down as evacuations are lifted and roads are opening and people are returning home to check their properties and that sort of thing. So the numbers have been coming down here, which, you know, is a relief for us. We know people are getting back to their communities, and, you know, a lot of the evacuated places, it was a precaution, and rightly so. And so people will go back and find that their homes were still standing, and that's, you know, that's the best-case scenario for us. And, you know, you get to know the people here. You know, you see them on a daily basis in the cafeteria, and, you know, hey, Nicole, hey, Frank, how are you doing? And, you know, it's sad to see them go, but, you know, we're praying for them as they return home. It's, you know, we're hopeful they're going to get back to their normal way of life.
So wonderful. You know, you've described beautifully the conditions here in New Mexico and what the people are doing, those who are displaced by the fires. But give us kind of a broader picture of how displaced people, how they do in these, you know, for all intents and purposes, these camps that you set up. Do you find everyone cordial and working together, or does it really depend upon the natural disaster, the community, the people? You know, what about the time of the hurricane, of Hurricane Harvey you mentioned, or the California fires? Do you find a similar kind of mindset with the people?
Yeah, and you know, you do find that common vein in all disasters is people come together. So here at Glorieta, you know, the same people have been here for, you know, a few days now, and they began to create their own community. So they might be staying in a residence, you know, on the other side of camp. Well, what can I grab you on the way out? Or, you know, I'm going to grab a case of water because I know we don't have one. And they'll take it back for everyone in their unit. And that's universal across every disaster. People come together to find common ground and help each other and pray with each other. And, you know, I saw a couple take their kids out with soccer balls. They create their own communities because they're just absolutely resilient, and they, you know, life goes on, and you find a way to, you know, seek common ground with people around you and help each other through it. And it's just absolutely amazing.
Hmm. Well, you know, we talked about this earlier, Nicole, and I realize that you work with disaster relief, but I understand that the Salvation Army does so much more. I mean, I don't know. I imagine you probably know more about, I mean, you guys offer rehabilitation, spiritual healing, human trafficking. I mean, can you go into some of these other ministries that the Salvation Army is involved in?
Absolutely. We have just dozens of ministries. You know, one that's always near and dear to my heart is Christmas and the Christmas Angels. That's a big deal. It's the tags in the malls, and people go shopping for children, and those kids get matched up with the exact gifts. They don't go back to a central clearinghouse. If you pull Andy off of a tree, Andy gets those gifts. And it's a really special part of what we do. So Christmas and the kettles, that's one of our probably most recognized ministries. But we have tons of others. As you mentioned, we have drug and alcohol recovery support programs. There's one in Albuquerque. There's one in Phoenix. I think there's one in Tucson. So they're across the region, and they help people with addictions, you know, find a way out, through Christ. And it's, you know, we have a couple of them here with us at Glorieta. You know, they're unloading trucks and stuff, and it's really special to just see them kind of evolve that, you know, there is something more for you. You can get out of addiction and find a way. And, you know, this is a special treat for them to get a side project, but I think it shows them that they can, you know, be of use and be loved in the community. So, you know, that's one of the things we're proud of. You know, we other ministries in senior living, senior support. We have programs across the region that, you know, help seniors with medical bills, or, you know, a lot of seniors are just lonely, and, you know, they'll sit and talk to them, and, you know, we have resources to get them together to play bingo or, you know, play cards or that sort of thing. So, you know, the seniors just love that. We have youth programs. We do have a camp in the region. It's in northern Arizona. I think it's just activating this week as the weather is getting nice. So we have a summer camp up in northern Arizona. And, you know, we have all kinds of youth programs up there. And a lot of our cores throughout the region also just have after-school programs, help with homework, you know, maybe care for kids while mom and dad are finishing off work for the day. We have, young adult programs through a lot of our cores where, you know, teens, instead of heading down a path with some crazy friends, well, we'll take you out for movies and ice cream. And it's a safe, you know, haven for them where they don't have to feel, you know, ostracized by their friends because they found other friends that are willing to do, you know, the things that they want to do. Wow. So those are some of the things we have out there. But you know, there's tons. I can't even think of off of them.
Well, I know you have homeless shelters.
We have a program for it.
I guess I just never knew. I mean, yeah, I mean, food pantries, grassroots services. But I just wanted to go back to the Christmas Angels, your favorite, one of your favorite ministries. Where do the names of these children come from? Are they children within your program? How do they?
So I'm familiar with Phoenix because that's where I'm from. So children can, their parents sign them up through schools.
Okay.
You know, I think there's some income guidelines, but they can sign up. The kids never know they're angels. That's the really special part of it. Their parents sign them up, and then their parents pick up the gift, and the gift looks like they come from mom and dad, who may not have the means to give it to them. So they don't know that they're Salvation Army Christmas angels.
Wow.
So the gifts come to us new, unwrapped, and then mom and dad can take it home and wrap it and say, you know, this is from Santa, or this is from mom and dad. They don't know it's from the Salvation Army. That's what makes it absolutely, you know, truly unique and special.
So sweet. Yeah. What about like your food pantry services? I mean, are those just available for, are they just at fixed locations? Like in Albuquerque, there's a food pantry here?
I believe Albuquerque has food services. I know that Santa Fe does a hot breakfast in the morning and has a food box program. Mm-hmm. It kind of varies from location to location just based on that community's needs. So every core across the Southwest might offer slightly different services just based on the community they're in, but they're all core services. So, most of them have food boxes, and some kind of meal program.
I love it. I think it's so great. And William Booth is just sitting up in heaven. I know. Collecting.
Who would have thought? I mean, this is amazing.
Is. Yes.
It's just amazing. So I'm going to take another slight turn again, Nicole, and I'm going to get back because Salvation Army is so known. It's such a part of, you know, our culture. Let's just focus in on the music. You know, I know the Salvation Army bands historically were very popular. They were even featured in movies like Guys and Dolls and National Lampoon's Christmas and other things. So a practical question is, are there still marching bands, Salvation Army marching bands?
Absolutely. So we have a brass band. Ours is based out of Phoenix. But what you might see is the Rose Bowl Parade. We have a huge band that marches in the parade every year.
No kidding.
And I'll tell you what, our musicians fight each other to get into this parade. It's so special. They're on TV. We've been doing it. We might be one of the oldest organizations to participate in that parade. It's, you know, truly special. And everyone's up early. Across the country, watching for their friends, watching for the officers to come walking down those streets, and it's amazing.
Well,
that would be the biggest one.
Yeah, that's really cool. I didn't know that they were part of the Rose Bowl. Now, do they do original music still, or is it pretty much, you know, standard, you know, let's say hymns and Christian music? Are they keeping up contemporary with their compositions?
You know, so we do a lot of them do the standard Christmas music. That's when I see them the most. But you know, they stick to the basics. You know, gospel music. They do some contemporary too. And a lot of what we do is the ministry of music with children, and you know, we're teaching them to play the guitar, and you know, music is, you know, a beautiful outlet for people that are struggling. And so, you know, we have musical instruments. In fact, a lady dropped by with a guitar the other day. And so, you know, we are just thrilled to have that because we know music touches kids in so many ways.
Wow.
So we focus on that a lot too.
The Salvation Army Emergency Disaster Relief Services is helping families displaced by the Hermit's Peak Fire. Nicole Canny will be back with Brian Nixon and Larissa Lusco right after these messages. Hi, this is Jim Williams. Mission New Mexico Spotlight Ministry for May is across nations, equipping Native America to exalt Jesus, encounter His goodness, and extend His kingdom. Here's Across Nations General Director Chuck Harper.
We used to be called the Navajo Bible School and Mission. Then it was Western Indian Ministries. Today we're called Across Nations. We really believe that the Navajo Church should be really at the forefront of sending people to other countries. We've seen so many open doors for the gospel to go to other countries with Navajo people taking the lead. The Navajo Church won't become a strong church until it becomes a sending church.
Across Nations efforts include jail ministry, addiction recovery, Awana groups, workshops, youth outreach, and more. Find information and show your support at acrossnations.cc. That's acrossnations.cc.
Finding the right school for your child is more important than ever. A school where kids are loved and kept safe, where Christian principles are upheld, and a strong academic foundation is built. Calvary Elementary, a Christian school seeking to nurture the academic, physical, spiritual, and social needs of your student. Now accepting students grades kindergarten through third grade. Details at Calvary Church Elementary.
This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams. Join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE.
The Salvation Army is doing a Calf Canyon Hermit's Peak Fire Relief Drive this Saturday at Cottonwood Mall from 8 o'clock a.m. to 4 o'clock p.m. They are accepting donations like hygiene items, baby items, pillows, towels, snacks and drinks, water, flashlights, batteries, and more. Find the full list of accepted donations and the event info at salvationarmy.org. Now let's rejoin Larissa Lusko and Dr. Brian Nixon for the final segment with Nicole Canny, Salvation Army's Emergency Disaster Director for the Southwest.
Okay, now I'm going to turn, you know, this on you a little bit. And I only know this, Nicole, because I'm a huge soccer, football fan. So in okay. Europe, They sing a song, or they chant a song called Seven Nation Army, which was written by a rock group called the White Stripes. And the lead singer of the White Stripes was a guy by the name of Jack White. So did you know, and I think you could look this up, but I have heard, and maybe you could clarify if this is true or not, that the Seven Nation Army song Jack White wrote for the White Stripes was actually a mispronunciation he had as a child. And rather than Salvation Army, he would say Seven Nation Army. Have you heard that before? Do you know if that's true?
I have never heard that. That's amazing. I'm going to have to look that up.
Yeah, it's look at it. I don't know. I mean, you could correct me, call me back, or maybe one of our listeners will go, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. But it is so, that tune is so popular. They chant it in the whole stadiums. It's pretty amazing.
Right.
But let me
well,
go.
I'll tell you what. Oh, my, our Southwest Divisional Lieutenant Colonel, he is a huge soccer fan, so I'm going to be so embarrassed when I go back and he's heard this interview and I didn't have the answer.
And then he's going, dun, 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 dun.
He's a huge Manchester United fan. So
yeah, me too. I'm a Man United fan as well. We went from music. Let me switch gears again. You know, we know the Salvation Army Band, and as you've clarified, they're still present and active today. Another of the Salvation Army's impact, at least in our culture, is just its presence. It's the symbols of its flag and shield and crest and uniforms. And there was even a salute at one time. Are all of these things still incorporated and used within the modern Salvation Army?
So absolutely incorporated. Our officers still wear uniforms. We still use the crest and the shield. I'm not sure about the salute. I haven't seen that in a while, but
yeah.
We keep everything. We we are deeply rooted in tradition and Christianity, and not that much has changed for us.
Yeah.
We stick to the basics. It's just meeting needs without discrimination in His name, and it's worked for us for over 100 years.
Now, is the I know on the Salvation Army flag, there used to be, was it blood and fire or blood and water? What exactly was
fire
on there? Okay, and what do those symbolize?
That I can't tell you exactly. I'm sorry.
That's okay. You're pretty impressive. You know a lot. You know, you're what was the Lieutenant Colonel should be proud of you. So, so blood and fire is still on the flags today.
Yes, it is.
And then the shield is still used, and the crest, and the uniform. So all of that, the tradition of the Salvation Army is still present today. That's pretty amazing, actually.
Absolutely, it absolutely is. And
you know, I read a study somewhere our Shield logo is one of the most universally recognized logos in the world, because people just notice, you know, a beacon of like light and hope. So
yeah,
you know.
I equate it, you know, the Salvation Army, I think in the broader culture, you know, we know the Red Cross. And we know the Salvation Army. They're two such recognizable, you know, relief organizations. And what's amazing to me, that's just quite beautiful, actually, is that the Salvation Army has kept such its Christian commitments. Usually after an organization's been around as long as you have, be it a university or whatever, a lot of times they kind of loosen up in some of their Christian convictions, but that's not the case with you guys. It's still central to who you are as an organization. Am I correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's, you know, it is central to who we are, and it's just all about, you know, serving in His name and serving people who are in need and who may, you know, be at their lowest and have no other solutions to turn to, and we will always be there.
Now, are there any publications that you guys put out? I mean, obviously in the modern world, people could go online and look at the website and such, but I believe back in the day, there used to be a magazine too. Is there still a magazine that is with the Salvation Army?
Yes, we do. We do have it. It's called The War Cry, and I believe it comes out every month. So I can get you the latest copy if you'd like it.
Yeah, and how, I mean, not putting you on the spot here, I've been putting you on the spot a lot concerning this, but how would people get hold of The War Cry? Some of our listeners, they may want to go, oh, I want to know more about the Salvation Army.
Sure,
how
absolutely.
Would they get hold of it?
I believe there's an online version. I can get you more information for that, and I know there's a hard copy because I get it. So just as staff person, I get it, but I'm sure there's some kind of subscription that your listeners could grab hold of, and I can get you that information.
Okay, one more, and then I promise I'm going to turn it back to Larissa. it's like, boy, Brian, you're
okay.
Hogging this up, because I'm so fascinated by the cultural influence and impact,
yes,
Salvation has had. But on a general basis, the beliefs of Salvation Army, we would say that they're, you know, it's a Protestant organization, of course. Would you put it like in the evangelical camp? How would you place the Salvation Army? Because I know people see it as a great relief organization, but it really is also a Christian organization that is a Christian church, you know, essentially. So where does it fall on the big spectrum of things?
You know, and I think a lot of people don't realize that we are rooted in the Christian faith. It's, you know, we're everywhere, and they see us ringing bells and, you know, in the malls at Christmas, and they may not know that much about us. And we are an evangelical organization and serving in the name of Christ for people in need.
So are there Salvation Army churches in town that someone could, if they could attend? How does that work?
Yeah. So we have cores across the region. The closest would probably be Santa Fe. I know there's one in Albuquerque. We've got one in Roswell. I'm trying to remember the other New Mexico cities. I'm sorry, I'm from Arizona, but
cores
all across New Mexico. They all have Sunday services that anyone can attend. In fact, we welcome everyone. I believe they usually start around 10 or 11 a.m., followed by some sort of congregate meal or some sort of fellowship activity during the afternoon. Anyone is welcome.
Okay.
And I can give you information on all our core locations.
Yeah, that would be fabulous. And one other question on that. So going back to the candidacy status. So the candidate comes out where they've received the pastoral care, the pastoral training. So someone who's leading a church, would they have to be a lieutenant or a captain? Where does that fall in who's actually leading the Salvation Army churches?
So as soon as you graduate our college, you are assigned a corps, you're good to go.
Okay, because you've done the pastoral care training. Yeah.
You got it.
Yep. Oh, that's amazing. Okay. Okay, Larissa, I promise I'm done. I'm fascinated, obviously for church history reasons, but it's just fascinating to see the unbroken tradition of the Salvation Army. I mean, they really stuck to their core values, which is pretty amazing.
I love that. And, you know, one thing that you said, Nicole, is that anyone is welcome. And I just love that you meet human needs without discrimination. That's just so Christ-like. I mean, Jesus didn't go and hang out with Christians. He went to the needy. Mm-hmm. He went to the poor. He went to the broken. And that's what the Salvation Army does. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful picture.
Thanks. We love to hear that.
Good. You've been listening today to Nicole Canny, and she's from the Salvation Army Emergency Disaster Relief. She's the director for the Southwest area. And Nicole, thank you so much. I know we can send our listeners to salvationarmyusa.org, and on that website they can make donations. They can find out everything that the Salvation Army does. And I believe they can even get involved, find their local Salvation Army where they can perhaps volunteer.
Absolutely. And, you know, we've got, you know, just dozens of services across New Mexico if you want to help with youth or seniors. We're always looking for disaster volunteers, you know, weekend programs, music programs, anything that your listeners are interested in. There's probably location would be great for them.
And Nicole, would again, I don't have the internet in front of me, but would it be salvationarmy.com for people just to get general information? What is the website?
You know what? I'm looking it up myself. I can't remember it. It's been a long day.
I think I found salvationarmyusa.org. How does that sound?
That sounds right.
Okay. salvationarmyusa.org. And people can get involved in after school programs, so they can help youth with homework. They can, you know, some people can learn skills to escape poverty. They can participate in the food pantries. I imagine they can either help by donating, or if they have time, they might be able to serve in a food pantry where they can volunteer. And like you said, I love that you have people coming in saying, hey, how can I organize anything? Just how can I help? People really want to do that. Yeah. So I just want to thank you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, it's really eye-opening. I mean, just, again, there's such a cultural presence. We see Salvation Army officers all over the place. But to see and hear what actually is going on and everything that's involved with it, it really is pretty amazing. So, Nicole, thank you so much.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure, you guys.
That will do it for our show today on ABQ Connect. I'm your host, Jim Williams. I hope you have a great rest of your Wednesday.
ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.